I love you.
Welcome back to the couch potatoes. Plenty of room. Have yourself a seat. The stains are okay. Don't worry about it. We mentioned it before. I'm the Green Traveler from Gorsh.
I wish you would really stop mentioning the stains. I can't.
It's your fault.
I can't water bend, so I can't get that out. But
well, that's what created the stains, if I do remember.
Water bending.
Of a form.
This is a podcast not about the stains. It's about Green and Faceless on the couch, and it's called Movies and TV.
We're just talking about us. It's called Movies and TV.
Yeah.
That might help us get found on the internet more.
Movies and TV. Just a like podcast the most boring name, about...
but anytime somebody searches it. Podcast about two government conspiracy creatures.
That would be hilarious. Yeah, so we're here talking about the new Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
The Last Airbender.
The Last Airbender.
Not Avatar 2, but Avatar The Last Airbender.
No, no. Yeah, not The Way of the Water, or whatever that was called. Not M. Night Shyamalan's live action adaptation.
No.
Someday I would love to talk about that.
I thought we were going to talk about all of it, but maybe someday we'll do that. And
maybe someday. I haven't watched... Okay, so this is going to get me a lot of backlash on the internet, okay, and I know that.
Okay.
I haven't watched all of the animation.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Back in college, we moved in with our good friend, Professor Ronvald the Scald.
Mm-hmm.
Avatar master. He's a maestro. He knows...
Sure.
He knows a lot. He loves this show.
I loved it, too. It's good.
We probably could have had him on, and it could have just been you two talking about it for a whole five
That's
hours.
That's true. Not five. We
but I had. I didn't grow hours. Up on this show. This wasn't something I watched as a kid. And then when I came to college, I was like, you know what? I want to watch it. I've always wanted to. I just never did. And so I watched the first book, and I watched, I think, half of the second book. And I just stopped, and I don't know why.
Right.
And then this show started coming out. I think what happened was I watched the final fight because I was just like, oh, man, I want to, I was getting excited, and I was just like, man, I just can't wait to see him when he's fully in his element. And I watched the final fight and was like, that was so fucking cool. I don't need to watch the rest of the show now. Like,
awful. That's just the worst.
I know. Yeah, it's like I peeked at the end and was like, that was so satisfying. I don't need to read the rest of the book.
It's like you just had the perfect date. Just the perfect date. And then they agree to have intercourse with you. And then just immediately.
Why's that got to be your end all?
I'm just saying. They say that. I'm just saying that's where it goes to. And so.
Right.
But you. You know, you're like, oh, that's okay. I already came. there's been a lot of sex talk in the last 4 minutes of this beginning of this episode about a
Isn't that how we start off most every
television series?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's most of our Disney playlist.
Yeah. Maybe there's something wrong with us.
But no, definitely there's definitely something wrong with us. Something wrong with you. But no, then this live action version coming out, and I knew about it for we knew about it for like a year or so in advance.
Maybe.
Yeah. And I had all that time to rewatch the animation. And then it was 2 months until the live action was coming out, and I was like, oh shit, I haven't tried to watch the animation at all. I'm going to try to do that. And I've gotten back to where I originally stopped watching.
Uh-huh.
And I have yet to watch further. I don't know why. I don't know what's wrong with me.
What's the episode you left off on? I suck at watching TV shows. What's the episode you left off on?
I don't know, man. It's been 4 weeks.
I just watched the entirety of the series
I know
a week and a half ago, and I can tell you.
I can't binge like you people.
I can tell you if you remember what was going on, I can tell you if it's gonna pick up at what point.
Well, that's the problem, is it wasn't because of when it was going down.
Oh.
I just stopped watching.
Yeah.
It's just a me thing. It's just like,
it again.
I came back from work one day and I was like, I'm gonna watch, no, I don't wanna watch that. I'm not really feeling it right now. You know what? I'm just going to watch Doctor Who or watch YouTube or like something else.
I see.
And then I did that for about 3 or 4 days. And then I was like, maybe I should go back. No, it just feels like a chore now. You know, it's like too much time has passed.
Yeah.
And now my OCD, ADHD brain is just like, nah, I can't work it back into the routine.
Well, it's previously on Avatar and, you know, they catch you.
Oh, I know. I can jump back in. No problem. That's not the problem. I can always step in. The problem is my brain.
I see.
it's a me thing. This is how I have always been with TV shows. Well, it's just like,
what's just right now, right here, why I have you on the couch. Let's make a little bit of homework for you. Okay. So
nope, you do that, immediately gonna not happen.
Well, you know, as soon as you pop that cork, you're gonna be like,
there's the same thing with
let the elements,
the same thing with Penny Dreadful. The same thing with Penny Dreadful. You kept telling me, you gotta watch it, I want you to watch it, you'll love it. And then like 2 years after you kept trying to tell me to do it, I finally watched it. I was like, you know what, that was great. But the more people tell me to do it, is the more my brain is going to be like, I don't have to do it
from
now.
Your movie doctor, okay?
I don't trust you. You don't have a face.
But that series has two faces. I could say that.
But you were tested on medically for most of your childhood.
That's why I know so much about medicine. And I think that if
But you're also kind of like attracted to pushing it on others. You're like Christian Grey from 50 Shades of Grey.
What?
You got tortured as a kid and now you get turned on by torturing others.
I'm not torturing you. I'm telling you to watch a very good television series.
You're prescribing me movie drugs.
It's only dopamine. You're going to be okay.
Dopamine scares me. Okay. My preferred is depression and loneliness. Oh, no.
All right. Well,
too meta.
Let's do a quick synopsis of what happens in the live action series. The plot is basically the same as the first season. So,
they're not called books anymore either.
Oh,
which, I mean,
not.
I guess I can understand. It's the exact same name. They need to have some way of differentiate.
Well, anyway, they focus on what happens in book one, season one of Avatar The Last Airbender.
It's about 20-ish episodes of animation.
Yeah, about somewhere in there. I was just trying to pull the year really quick.
Oh, I think it was 2005.
Yep, 2005 through 2008. So, you know, elementary school into middle school for us.
Even though the animation itself doesn't really have any cultural issues, any cultural issues could be chalked up to American creators. But honestly, I feel like the animation is very...
It's very good.
And delivering its messages.
Yes, and I don't... You know, I think that these characters in these stories are very obviously representing different cultures in our world, but they are definitely different, their own independent cultures, and the way that they interact is specific to this world. It's not, I don't think they're trying to say anything with having the Fire Nation be kind of like more of Japanese, and the Earth Nation more Chinese, and that the Japanese are invading the Chinese. I don't think they're trying to say anything with that.
Maybe, I don't think so. Not really. I mean, one minor, and it's not really an issue, but one minor issue with the animation that the live action, surprisingly, I know a lot of people are going to be shocked to hear me say this, it does correct an issue of the animation, and that's its casting.
Right.
The live action cast is almost entirely Asian actors or indigenous actors.
Yes.
And applause, massive applause for that. Yeah. Like, that's a great, great representation there.
Because they're definitely, like I said, representing specific cultures from our world. So it would just be, it just doesn't feel right when you have a white European person up there in Inuit clothing. Yeah, playing soccer. That's exactly what I'm getting at.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't remember the M. Night. That's the reason we're not talking to M. Night, by the way, for the people who are wondering about, you should go into M. Night's movie. I haven't watched that since it came out, and that would be so disingenuous to criticize a movie. Yeah, someday I would love to rewatch it and give it our all and just poo-poo it all over it.
Oh, we were just talking about the announcement. It was way back in 2008. That they announced that they were going to do a live action.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wait, wouldn't that have been the M. Night movie, though?
2018.
Oh, I thought you said 2008.
I might have.
No, you might have said 18, and I lost it in the internet lag.
We'll see.
The editor will leave it in for your embarrassment, or...
Oh, boy. So, quick synopsis of what's going on. The Avatar is a person who can control all four elements, which are usually only controlled by specific cultures in the world. The North and Southern Water tribes are typically where the waterbenders come from, and the Fire Nation is where firebenders come from, and the Earth Kingdom is where earthbenders come from. And at the time that we meet Aang, he is a part of one of the air nomad temples. However, he runs away after he learns he's supposed to be the Avatar. And the day he does so, the Fire Nation attacks all of the air temples and does genocide on his people.
Yeah.
So,
it's very awful.
Yeah. Another thing is that the Avatar manifests themselves in a certain nation depending on where they're at in the cycle.
Yeah, it's very much like Doctor Who. It's like
regeneration.
Almost. Yeah. Not
reincarnation. It's more reincarnation than
Because like a Doctor Who, I guess more like the Dalai Lama. It gets passed on to the next next title. But like Doctor Who, it's like a whole new personality, but it's the same memories. And it's very similar with the Avatar. It rotates through the nations. It's air, water, earth, fire?
That's right.
That's the rotation cycle?
That's the rotation cycle. So, since Aang disappears and accidentally freezes himself...
What a dumbass.
Yeah, the world believes that either the line of the Avatars has been broken, or the next one will be in the Water Tribe, and is probably becoming quite old at this point. But basically, the Avatar hasn't become a myth. It has become a thing of the past, and maybe a legend that Zuko, 100 years later, being banished, is searching for it to redeem his honor. We can get more into that later, but
I think we can at least say that Zuko is the prince
of the Fire Nation. Thank you. But Katara and her brother Sokka, they find Aang and wake him up somehow, along with his flying bison, Appa, the best character. And they start adventuring together, trying to save the world from the invasion of the Fire Nation that has been taking place over the last 100 years.
It becomes, becomes their quest to get Aang trained in all of the elements so that he can overcome Fire Lord Ozai.
That's right.
the not guy Mark who is Hamill. Currently leading the war.
It's not Mark Hamill, but it's even better.
No.
Oh, come on. He's from Lost, and he was one of my favorite characters.
I do love him. I do love, why am I struggling to find his name? Daniel Dae Kim. He's also in Hawaii Five-0 and a bunch of other new shows. But it was kind of funny because as all these people were popping up, I was kind of just texting you and be like, oh my God, it's this guy from Lost. Oh my God, it's this guy from Lost. Like,
yeah.
And you made the comment. It's just like, it's a nice little Lost reunion, you know? It's just wonderful. But yeah, I do like Daniel Dae Kim as Fire Lord Ozai. We'll get the villains out of the way first, and then we'll talk about our heroes, I guess. But no, like, what makes it, like, I think nobody can top Mark Hamill. Like, there's two characters in the original animation that are just untoppable. Like, you literally cannot go above and beyond their levels. And that is Fire Lord Ozai, because Mark Hamill is easily, like, the best voice actor we've ever known. Mm. Like, the man is a damn probably genius. True. His voices are superb.
Yeah.
Phenomenal villain. Like, nobody, like, the Joker is, like, one of the most iconic voices ever around the world. Like, most people know, like, the Joker's voice.
Yeah.
But also, his Fire Lord Ozai, though, is just so... Like, again, I've only seen that fight, but what little of his voice acting is in that fight is chilling.
Yes.
Like, he's scary. He might be more
evil than the Joker, because at least the Joker wants you to laugh.
Yeah, he's not committing... Well, I guess the Joker has committed genocide somewhere online.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that happened. Yeah, he probably found out there were sewer people and thought it would be funny to, you know, gas them and make them walk the streets and then fall over dead. And then he's like, gotcha!
Yeah. But no, like, Daniel Dae Kim is still intimidating, but more like in a quiet manner. Like, he definitely seems like that scary, determined general who, like, you say one wrong thing, he's gonna chop your head off.
Oh, yeah.
But, like...
I thought he did great.
Like, he doesn't have that cold menace that I got from the few, like, 10 minutes that I've seen of Mark Hamill as Ozai. So maybe he can build there. Maybe by season 3, Daniel Dae Kim will be built there.
Maybe.
But and the other character, since I mentioned it, is General Iroh, Uncle Iroh.
Oh, like, yeah.
Animation Uncle Iroh.
He's amazing.
Is a fucking angel.
He's like, fucking phenomenal. But I like both of the picks they made. Cast-wise, yes. I feel like that I like the picks so well. I think they work.
Yeah. I agree. I think they did a great job at casting. Paul Sun-Hyung Lee plays Uncle Iroh in the live action. And while he does not reach the limit of the animation Iroh, he is damn good.
Oh, he's really, like, good. He
animation is like a 10. He's like a 9.5.
He has a lot of compassion for his nephew, Uncle Iroh does.
That nephew being Prince Zuko.
And he also was supposed to be the Fire Lord, but his brother, we'll say, managed to get on the throne in a bloodless way. But Zuko was banished, and Iroh went with him to look after him. And he's a good guy.
There's a lot to there about
I love
Uncle Iroh's, like, you know, he's his past and how he treats Zuko as his own son. Yeah. We won't get into it because of spoilers. But, like, there's a beautiful past with Uncle Iroh that you see where this kind-hearted saint came from.
Right.
You know, because he wasn't always a kind-hearted saint. You know, he does have a bit of a dark past with certain things that he was forced to do. Sure.
One thing that they keep on referring to in this particular series is the fact that he laid siege to Ba Sing Se for like 60 days or something like that. I can't remember. Maybe 90. Whatever.
And 6 years.
It was, you know, pretty bad because the it's a big walled city and they couldn't get things from the outside in, and a lot of people died. But, you know, he also didn't succeed, so he gets gruff from both sides. Was that how that expression goes?
Yeah, I mean, he failed his mission, but also, like, he did evil.
Yeah, he did do evil. He like, did do the evil.
Yeah, there's Mars in his past, but you can see where this beautiful boy came from.
Yes.
And it's, and I think Paul Sun-Hyung Lee does an amazing job at delivering that emotion deep within. Yeah. Like, because he definitely fucking cares, but at the same time, he is just, like, the most jubilant guy ever. You know, you'll see something in a stream, be like, ooh, what's this? I gotta check this new card out. See what this guy's selling.
So, Prince Zuko, we've missed we've talked about a couple of times, played by Dallas Liu. He does an excellent job as well, and I love his relationship with Iroh. And I'm aware of the couple of things that he's like been in, but I have not seen them, so I have not. This is the first thing I've seen him in, and that I'm aware of, and I thought he did a very good job.
Yeah, I would have thought this was my first time as well. I guess he had a small role in Shang-Chi.
Okay, I guess. He played
Ruhua Chen, but like, sure. Neither of us remember that. This is our first real, you know, introduction to him. And I think he's amazing. Like, his Prince Zuko is...
He plays the layers very well. I feel like in the original, he might even do that a little bit better than the voice actor, because there's a lot of yelling that takes place in the beginning of the first series. And this guy, you can see the frustration a little bit more. And, you know, that's just the gap between the voice and the animation, I'm sure. But it felt like more like a real person.
Yeah, you also get a good sense of that childish growth, Gambino. Like, and misunderstanding. Yeah. No, not the childish Gambino. But, like, with the voice actor, you know, it's like, I guess I could look it up real quick, but I don't think... Yeah, Dante Bosco was playing Zuko in the animation. I'm pretty sure he wasn't a kid when he was doing the voice in 2005.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you get, because like, this is a young man, like in his teen years still, like a young teenage boy who's been banned from his homeland by his own father, who physically hurt him. Like, left a scar on his face. And he's been banished from everything he knew and from he was royalty. He was a prince.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure life for him was still hard, but he grew up with a lot of benefits that the Fire Nation people most likely did not see.
Yeah, he's supposed to be next in line.
Yeah, exactly. And now he's forced to just wander as, like, a hermit kind of thing until he can find the Avatar and bring him back to the Fire Nation. And it's just, like, there's a lot of weight and responsibility and pain and everything that like, I'm not going to say Dante Bosco and the animation didn't do that. Like, that Zuko is amazing, but I do think Dallas Liu brings a lot of that childish, like, rage and just complete not understanding what's going on around him, because it's just too big of a pain to understand for someone that young.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of next in line, Sokka up north, in the Northern Water Tribe, it has taken over as the protector of the tribe while his father and all the warriors are away, because he's the oldest child there.
Poor kid.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weight. That is like, it's a Game of Thronesy kind of thing where it's just like all of these young kids are now the rulers.
Right? So, Ian Owsley, he is playing Sokka in this, and I think they both found somebody who kind of looks like the animation and gets the humor of the character. Like, now I'm not saying that the guy in the other movie wasn't humorous. I don't remember, frankly.
I don't remember either.
That does bring me to Avatar Aang, because Avatar Aang in the animation is hilarious as fuck.
Oh yeah.
And that stupid movie that came out, just super serious all the time. That's it. That's all you get. I think that Gordon Cormier was able to bring a good balance to that.
Yeah.
There were some good, funny, comedic moments with the character.
And I agree. I feel like, and no offense to Gordon, I think he's great. I enjoy his Aang. But it's just, there's a lot of the child that still seems to be missing. Like, and I don't know. Gordon Cormier is not that old.
I think it is because it's a child actor in a serious role. Sometimes it's hard to be both.
I don't even know what his age is. It doesn't say. It's crazy. So little is known of this young man.
He is young.
However, seeing him with hair is hilarious because I saw him on an interview where he had hair. And I was just like, what? He has hair? I was just like, he's not a bald child?
Yeah, they already filmed all four seasons, so he grew back his hair.
They did announce that it has been renewed and canceled for seasons 2 and 3. So it will have 2 more seasons, and that is it.
Okay.
Netflix not only renewed it, but they also canceled it after season 3. So they have 2 seasons to wrap it up, which makes sense because the original animation was just 3 books.
I guess there was...
I just kind of figure they would try to extend it to 4 seasons. But... Yeah,
I guess there was a season 4 that was canceled, but the story was done. So it's all good. Yeah,
and it became the Legend of Korra, which I have also not seen. Please don't kill me.
The Legend of Korra is also good. After the first half of the first season.
They're supposed to have a new one coming out soon, I think. Like another,
I hope so. An Earthbender, maybe? That would be cool. Yeah.
Earthbender Mater.
A Birthbender. Yeah.
But no, I really appreciate both Ian Owsley and Gordon Cormier. I think they both do a great job in their roles. Yeah. There is a tiny bit of an elephant. You and I, outside of our podcast personalities here, are both white individuals.
Sure.
So we won't talk about this one too much. But there has been question about Ian Owsley's his agent's use of Ian Owsley's heritage to get the role. Mm-hmm. The Cherokee Nations of America have all stated that the tribe that Ian Owsley is from is not a recognized tribe by the Cherokee Nation. And... do your own research. I'm not going to say anything about it. As in the potatoes, that is.
Sure, sure. I might do my own research as well. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, he's...
I don't know.
It's a Kentucky tribe. Let's find out. Hold on. I'll do a tiny bit of... the Southern Cherokee Nation of Kentucky is where his heritage is tied to. And I think it's 4 tribes of Cherokee in America, like the nation of Cherokee. It's on their list of fraudulent tribes.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's some things to that, whether that's his agent doing that, whether that's him doing that. I don't know.
I don't know either. It could also be his great grandparents doing that, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's so many different things. I'm not going to knock him because I do think his Sokka is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
He seemed to understand the character. He seemed to get the assignment, and he fucking delivered. And who also delivered is their Katara.
Hell yeah.
Played by, and I'm so sorry, I am almost certainly going to butcher this name, Kia Wintio.
I think you did it.
I think. It could also be Kia Wincio. Maybe like the it's T-I-I-O at the end. It could flow. I don't know. I'm so sorry. But her as Katara is great, I think. She does a great job at learning the waterbending stuff and at being Aang's...
Yeah, teacher.
Not his... Yeah, his balancer, kind of. Because it's like, there's some things that, you know, he has the weight of the Avatar on him. When shit goes bad, he can enter what's called the Avatar state, which is when he becomes very scary and filled with power. And if he's killed in the Avatar state, you mentioned that at the very beginning of the podcast, you mentioned that people thought maybe the line of the Airbender had, or the Avatar had been broken.
Right.
That's if he's killed in the Avatar state. That would kill the Avatar.
Yeah.
Like, the line's done for then.
Yeah, because, and they explain it in the series, and I don't really feel like it's a spoiler, in that moment, he is calling on the experience of all of his past lives at the same time. So they're all, all these different lives are existing at the same time, and that's why they say it'll end the line.
Yeah, it's like, that's the Doctor Who moment. That's how he can access his past memories, is if he's at a shrine of one of his other avatars, he can also enter this state and speak to that old avatar.
The Doctor can't do that, though.
No, the Doctor, well, technically the Doctor can, because that just happened in the Jodie Whittaker series. At the end, where she accessed her own memories and talked to her past selves.
That's true.
You know, a little bit on the Doctor Who corner here. I'll get there in my reviews. If you're interested, I'm posting my reviews to greentravelerreviews.blog. If you type in greentravelerreviews.blog, you'll find my website. That's where I even have a review of The Last Airbender up as well. So if you are interested in further, more specific opinions on the show, especially the nitpicks, because I got some nitpicks.
I love you.
So there's another issue with Sokka that a lot of people were complaining about. I think it's a good change, and that is, the live action has gotten rid of a lot of Sokka's sexism. Animated Sokka is very sexist. He's very much like, you're a woman, you can't do that. I am the man, I have to lead.
In like the first season.
Exactly. But he grows up. Right. That's the thing. His character develops. It's a very integral part of his character, watching him develop from being this, I'm the man of the tribe, I have to lead, I have to protect, to becoming more understanding of people's abilities. And
actually a good leader, too.
And a good leader, yeah. It's a fascinating development. And people were really mad because Ian Owsley came out and said, he's like, yeah, they got rid of his sexism. And people are like, that's how this character grows up. You know, but I think in the live action,
I think
he still has a lot of growth to be making.
Sure, oh, 100%.
Just taking away the more irritating...
Yeah, the more problematic part. And I don't think there's a problem with that, because honestly, people who intend to grow into being men need good examples of how to treat people. And thinking that you're better at doing something just because of what's between your legs, that's not conducive to good relationships.
Even if he was sexist, he would definitely develop into a better person.
Right.
But still having like that first season of a very sexist character who's also very funny and likable.
Yeah.
That sets that bad precedent.
Yeah, it makes it seem like it's cool.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, I really enjoy animated. I'm not going to knock animated Sokka. I think that's a great story and great development. Mm-hmm. But for the people who've been mad about a lot of the stuff, who haven't watched the live action Avatar, but were mad that they were changing the characters like this, I think this is one is for the best. You know, I think this is a very good character trait to get rid of, because we don't really need it in this Sokka. He still has a lot of leadership growth to make, and that's more important to focus on in a shorter series, because it's 8 episodes as opposed to 20. I know that the 8 episodes are longer than all the episodes of animated Avatar, but you know, it's still a shorter-ish season. They've got a lot of ground to cover in less time than the animated did.
Definitely. And there might be some people who say that the series suffers from that fact, but I think they did a very good job of being true to what the show is. It's still fun, while also telling a very serious plot about a war. I mean, you know, it obviously...
And genocide.
It needs... When it goes from being an anime... This, I guess we shouldn't really call it anime. I don't know. It's an anime style. To live action, there's definitely a layer of seriousness that has to be painted on. Otherwise, it would just seem phony.
It would draw you out of the seriousness a little too much. Yeah. But at the same time, Aang can be a little more childish and fun.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that it's just, I really think it's because he is so young. And play the serious parts very well. And he has some comedic timing. I just think, like, he didn't feel necessarily free to be as silly and goofy. One, it probably wasn't written in. But I do want to mention one other side character who's very important to the last couple episodes, and that's Princess Yue.
Oh, yeah.
Played by Amber Midthunder. And I just fucking love Amber Midthunder, so that's the main reason I wanted to bring it up.
Pretty fucking badass name.
Yeah, they were the main character in Prey.
Oh, right!
Yes.
And oh, my God.
They also play one of the two Carries in Legion. And I guess they're also in Roswell, New Mexico, but I haven't seen that. But she's just great.
I feel like I wouldn't be able to watch that because I feel like the historical accuracy would just be all incorrect.
I know. But, you know, what if they do get it right? And then, you know, then we can call them to tell them, hey, listen, there's a vital part that you're missing. And we can get two more characters on your show.
Yeah. I feel like if they did get it right, we would have gotten phone calls from the government by now. Because it would have been like, how do they know so much?
You know, how do they know?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
it's
I'm at this point, because it's been a while since I've heard, I'm kind of hoping that they lost our files and kind of forgot about it. I mean, this country's kind of been a shit fire for a little while. So I think
that's 2016, maybe the orange guy burned some photos and stuff and they just forgot about us.
All right, let's do
pretty sweet.
Let's do closing statements before we actually do get in trouble, because you know, freedom of speech is only kind of a thing.
Well, in my closing speech, I will mention one other, because we mentioned the Lost reunion. Ken Leung plays Commander Zhao.
Oh yeah,
who is a Fire Nation general commander. Well, I mean commander. It's his title, I guess.
He becomes an admiral, at least in the animation. Yeah, something like that. He becomes an admiral, but maybe not in this.
He's butting heads all the time though with Zuko. They're both trying to find the Avatar to get honor. Well, Zhao has other reasons that you know become important throughout the season, but. He was also in Lost. He played
Miles.
A character. I can't remember the name. Miles, thank you. Oh my gosh. The one who could possibly hear the dead and then Lost. Who knows? It was fun to unpack that. There was also another guy, I can't find him in the cast. I already forget. But he was the narrator for the Dharma Initiative videotape training videos.
Yes. Yeah. He played one of the the monks,
the sages or the monks, sages. The fire, they were protecting the fire avatar, one of the previous avatars' shrine, and when I saw him I was like, man, I recognize that voice, it's such a familiar voice, but I couldn't place the face. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh my God, it's a Lost reunion. Blake was right. There's another one. But no, in my closing statements, I think they did a great job. They were very loyal to the main cast. I think, you know, from all the people we mentioned in the main cast, I think they all do a great job at taking the characters from the animation, adapting them to the live action in a way that makes sense and doesn't feel... You know, it's still funny, but it's not, as you mentioned, it's very serious stuff that's happening. Yeah. And so, like, they definitely bring that weight while still having good fun with it and enjoying this world. The effects are great. I like a lot of the CGI. There are some issues, in my opinion, with the cinematography of the effects.
Yeah.
If you want the nitty-gritty, it's in my review on greentravelreviews.blog. But
I agree with some of that.
I was complaining to you a lot about this. I was sending you a lot of videos about, like, oh my God, this is so fucking annoying. When you're having a rain scene, or if you're out at sea, and a lot of movies do this, and so do a lot of TV shows, and it really just pisses me off. There's a moment where raindrops will fly on the camera, and it's to make it feel more wet. You know, it's make it feel like you're getting rained on. No, nothing is going to take me out of the experience more than remembering that there is a glass screen between me and the fucking events that are going on. And that's all it does, is it makes me realize, oh, yes, there is a camera here that's filming it all. And just buy a fucking deflector, put it on the front of your goddamn camera, and you're fine. Like, they build these things for a fucking reason. Yeah. This is a multi-million dollar show. They could have afforded a couple fucking deflectors, especially since most of that scene was CG fucking eye.
And that's so it's like it's no a choice. Point. And I know that you know that it was a choice that they made. But, okay, it's let me dumb. Give you the argument why somebody might actually be more pulled in. And that is because that they are glasses wearers. And yes, I understand you are a glasses wearer.
My whole life.
But I think that it is like the same feeling of as if I were there that my glasses got wet. But for the people who don't wear glasses, I don't understand why they think that would
even,
make them feel
in my opinion, more even for involved. A glasses wearer, because once those raindrops hit the screen, you just take your glasses off, you wipe. You put them back on. Oh, there's still raindrops on the screen. God damn it. It wasn't me. It was the... No, it just removes you. It makes you remember that you're watching something, which I understand. Obviously, you're always aware that you're just watching something. But sometimes you can get sucked into the story and be having a good time.
Yeah.
And that's just such a tiny technical detail that really just pisses me off because it shouldn't be there. I know it's wet. There's waves everywhere. The characters are wet. There's sounds of wetness. I don't need dewdrops hitting the screen. It pisses me off.
Okay.
But that is like, that's the kind of effects that keep happening, though, is like when Katara has her waterbending and she is showing this beautiful waterbending orb, you know, it's like the effects look so good when she is in the shot with it, when her hands are in the shot with it. The CGI had a focused image to work with. And use that image to make the water ball. And then they cut to a shot of the ball over a diffused background. I know these are all like tiny nitpicks.
Yeah.
But it's just when they did that, the CGI water ball went from looking beautiful to looking like a piece of glass. And it was because the CGI editor, the person who was making it, didn't know what the fuck it would be reflecting. There's nothing else in the shot for him to work with.
That's true.
And it might have been a completely different artist than that was working on the original one when Katara was with it.
Probably.
So it's a completely different water ball within two different shots that when you cut back and forth, it's just sloppy. And it's just like there's a lot of those small technical issues.
Yeah, I agree.
That even though it's good effects, really make those effects look crappy. Because it's just like there's weird editing or something, and that's throughout this entire show. So even though I enjoyed the acting, even though I enjoyed the loyalness to the show, it's still only getting a 3 out of 5 because there's so much like smaller filmmaking decisions and stuff that I'm just like, why are you doing this? Like, it's textbook to just remove that. Your 50-minute episode goes down to 45 minutes because you save time, and it's better. Like, I don't know. There's so many of these small decisions that just ruined this series for me. Yeah. Not ruined, but, like, dragged it down. That it's just like I wasn't enjoying it as much as I was wanting to enjoy it.
Well,
I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I know that was a lot.
I enjoyed it quite a bit, mostly because of nostalgia, loyalty to the show from myself, but also the creators of this show are pretty loyal to this story of what's going on, and I really appreciated it, and they got all the elements except that I wanted to have in it. I was just happy that they included Keem Boomy. They could have just cut Keem Boomy out and it wouldn't have happened.
They could have, and I kind of wish they would have. I'll wait for your closing statement before I continue.
No,
with
we're doing it right now, okay? You didn't like their King Boomy,
who's I did not like their
played
King
by Utkarsh Ambudkar, and I don't think it was because of his performance. I think it is because what they chose to do story-wise, which is a lot different than in the show, but for the sake of time. They also, in that same episode, like, did two other episodes that happened much farther down in the series. So
I know, yeah, they really truncated a lot there. Yeah, it was, that episode felt a little mucky because of that. But like, so here's my, I'll try to be quick. Here's my issues with their King Bumi.
Okay.
And the animated King Bumi is a loon. He's crazy. Yes. He's 112 years old. He's a little wonky, but he's still trying to teach the Avatar.
Yes.
You know, he's trying to use this moment to show Aang that, you know, things have changed a lot and you can learn a lot, but I'll still, you know, he's trying to make it a teaching moment through a crazy path.
Yes.
Because he's crazy.
Yeah.
But there was still a good reason for it. This King Bumi literally just complains and whines because Aang left me. You left us when you were 12. We all died. Like, it's very hard. I get it. There was definitely a war that happened, and like, I understand that he could have thought that Aang, the Avatar, betrayed everybody by running away. But like, they took all of this like teacherliness out of this hilarious, beautiful character, because I love King Bumi in the animation, and they made him into a whiny fucking brat who became a king, and it was so frustrating.
I get why it's upsetting, but I think that it was interesting to have the role reversed. Like, since they were going to change it anyways, I think it was interesting that it was Aang teaching the lesson, because this show does put a little bit more of a savior feel on Aang, but I think that's because in the show, the animation, they had time to build up people's faith in Aang.
Yeah. You want to know one more nitpick?
Okay.
Aang doesn't do anything other than airbending.
Yeah, I know.
In these 8 episodes.
I know. That did upset me.
He's the fucking Avatar.
Yeah, because
like, what in the hell, like, guys? It's like
freaking episode 3 that he's waterbending in the animated series.
Yeah. Like, by the end of book 1 in the animation, he is adept at waterbending. He's not, like, masterful, but he is pretty darn good at waterbending. And pretty much a master at airbending by then. Like, he's really good at airbending.
Yeah.
He's still got a lot to learn, but he's pretty solid.
They make it pretty clear that he was a master at airbending before he even showed up. Because that's what the tattoos mean. Like, you get the tattoos from being a master.
Yeah, yeah. But goddamn, like, that was something that, like, we got to the end of and I was like, you know, it sounds like I hated it. I know that all the complaints I've done make it sound like I hate it. People always mistake that. I am an opinionated little bitch. I have complaints about things that I love. Read my reviews on Doctor Who. I'm going to complain about Doctor Who a lot if you're interested. There's a lot of complaints to be had there. But that's because I love things. If I love things, I got things to say about it. I'm not going to, you know, be like, that was great, I loved it. No, that's no fun for me, especially in a show like this. So I did enjoy the show a lot. But that was one thing that, like, once I turned it off and was like, well done, guys, well done. Did Aang do anything other than airbending? Isn't he the fucking Avatar? It was an immediate just like, what
that
the fuck?
Was like, weird. I don't know that he did.
He didn't.
Anyhow.
Not once.
I give it a face and a half because I did rather enjoy it. But, you know, there are some things that maybe if I wasn't so nostalgic, it would have just been a full face. But I highly recommend it. If you're a big fan of the show, I do think there is enjoyment to have out of it. I have heard some fans not be super chill with it, and
it's very mixed reviews,
I'm sure. But I liked it. That's the show.
The overall critique, though, is, you know, even from the people who hate it, even from the fanboys who are just like, no, it was garbage. Still better than M. Night Shyamalan's adaptation, though.
Poor M. Night.
Oh, man. Well, if you're going to do an entire movie based off of a beloved show, maybe get the main character's name right, you know?
I know. Yeah. He's like, I wanted
to be a little important.
He said, and it was an interview that they had on Nickelodeon. He's like, I wanted the names to sound more like they came from the Asian cultures that they're trying to represent.
Right.
And it's like, No, what you did is that you made his name Sokka, and nobody likes that. Why did you do that? Aang. Yeah, and Katara. I don't know. He might have kept Katara the same. I don't know.
No, I understand where he's coming from because, again, it was mostly Americans who came up with the naming and everything. Sure. And, you know, it's like, sure, maybe they didn't know how to properly pronounce Asian names that they're taking. At the same time, those Asian names, like those pronunciations of the names, became beloved.
Yeah. So they're beloved characters.
Even if they're not proper Asian pronunciation,
it's maybe a fiction. You call them
Aang and Sokka and Katara. You
it's
know
a
what
fiction.
It's fiction. Stop complaining, right?
It's not even that. It's a fiction. Set in those cultures, it's a fantasy world. It's a different world.
Completely fantasy. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, this was supposed to be like a half an hour to 45 minutes. So let's end the show.
Yeah, we'll do it. I am the Green Traveler from Gorsh,
and I am the Faceless Leone. Safe travels. I'm drawing it out now because now I feel like I was being rude. safe travels and good night.